The wheel of time turns, and ages come and pass, leaving memories that become legend. Legend fades to myth, and even myth is long forgotten when the age that gave it birth comes again. In one age, called the Third Age by some, an age yet to come, an age long past, a married couple decided to start a podcast.
This is Shade of My Heart, a Wheel of Time podcast. I'm Josh, and this is my wife, Kat.
Hi, everyone.
Today, we are continuing on our series of character sketches. Yes. This week, we are looking at one of the Emmons Field Five.
Yes. Last week, we talked about Loyal, who essentially stayed the same. So we thought this week we would talk about a character who is very differently portrayed in the show from the books.
My man, Perrin Ibarra.
Woohoo! I want to go ahead and just give a little bit of a, I guess, sort of spoiler warning, I guess. Like, if you are planning to read the books, we're definitely going to talk a lot about the books. We're going to try not to go further than what they've done in the show, but just talking about the major, there's a lot of major differences with his character.
So, first of all, in the books, he is an apprentice blacksmith at the beginning of the series, and he is not married.
Right. The kids are all, they're younger. In the books, they're only like, what, maybe 16?
No. They're 19.
They are 19?
Yeah, they're not that much younger.
Oh. I guess they just seem more mature.
They play them older in the show. But they're still about the same age.
Okay.
But Perrin's an apprentice, and Master Lujan is his master, and he talks about him a lot throughout the books. He's always referencing Master Lujan's forge and mm-hmm. things like that. And we never meet his parents in the books. Mm-mm. So for all intents and purposes, Master Lujan is his dad as far as the
it's
reader.
It's like the father figure for him.
Yeah, we know that he's not his father, but he's
right.
He's apprentice to him. And in the show, of course, he is the blacksmith. And I had read that they played with the idea of having him be an apprentice, but they decided to go ahead and make him a full blacksmith.
I think that was all because of them wanting to make them more mature.
Yeah. What did you think about him being married to Layla in the show?
Yeah, so Layla is actually in the book series, but she's like, it's in passing. It's later on. And he says something about, if I had stayed in Emmons Field, I may have married Layla. So that's actually where her character came from. I read that somewhere that mm-hmm. that Rafe, you know, that he said, hey, let's since we're kind of pretending like they're a little bit older, let's pretend that this is what naturally happened, that he became the blacksmith, that he married Layla.
Yeah, and we see her appear in book 4, The Shadow Rising.
Mm-hmm.
She is a character, but only in passing. They didn't marry, and she's not a blacksmith.
She's literally mentioned like that one time.
Yeah. But in the show, they give him this marriage, and this, of course, this tragic thing happens with mm-hmm. her. And that really changes him. At that moment, he is a broken, grieving man, and he's carrying this guilt for killing his wife. And I think actually, from a character development standpoint, it makes him very interesting that he's carrying this guilt. He didn't mean to kill her.
Right.
But he's carrying that responsibility anyway. And so he's going to hate violence, which is why the Way of the Leaf appeals to him, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And in the books, he does interact with the Tinkers, but I think in the show, he's much more willing to try the Way of the Leaf.
Yeah,
than in
definitely.
The books.
In the books, he's like, you guys are crazy. How would you, you're not going to defend yourself. You're not going to fight. If somebody attacks you, you're not going to fight back. And so he doesn't think that it's an appealing way of life. In the books.
So in the books, he has this axe, this battle axe that he carries around with him For most of the time, he's carrying around this battle axe, and it's a big character thing for him, and that he's unwilling to put away the axe. In the show, he does not have that axe
Well, and
once.
I'm wondering, he picked up one at Faldara in that last episode,
Yeah,
so
so I'm wondering if that's gonna, start
yeah,
to
if
be
they're
a
gonna bring
thing.
it in.
In the show, I thought they actually did a really good job of his conversations with the Tinkers, talking about the Way of the Leaf, and he was actually raising some of the same questions that you just offered about what if somebody attacks you, wouldn't you defend yourself, that sort of thing. And then in that last episode, he is talking to Loyal, and he shows really how much he actually does kind of want to follow the Way of the Leaf. He's not ready to become a tinker, but you can see he does not want to be violent. And you can understand why he would not want to be violent, because the last time he was violent, his wife died at his hand. So I thought that was a really interesting character choice for him in the show. In the book, he's described as a careful man.
Yes, they talk a lot about him being very gentle, very careful. He thinks before he speaks.
Yeah.
That if he has to make a decision quickly, he's very uncomfortable with that. And he wants to be able to really think through the implications. And they talk about at one point where he like, who is it that's standing in front of him? Is it Egwene or Moraine, maybe? That he like picks her up and just gently moves her to the side. Because in the books, he's like really big and strong. He's got the blacksmith like muscles and chest and shoulders, you know. So they always talk about how strong he is.
Yeah, that's a big thing
But
for
he's this gentle
his character.
giant.
Yeah. And in the books, it talks about the reason he's so careful and deliberate is because he's always been bigger than the other kids, and if he's not careful, he might accidentally hurt somebody. And I wondered when I heard that they were going to do this show, well, how are you going to cast Perrin? Because there's not many guys that are so big that the first thing you would think when you saw him was, that is a big dude. And I think they did a pretty good job casting, but he's not
He's
like
not
a
as
monster of a man
he's not
that.
as big as what I pictured, but I do like what he's doing.
Yeah, there, and the men that do exist that are like huge like that, they're not actors. So I
No.
would rather have a guy
They're
that can
weightlifters.
act
Yes.
than a guy that looks the part, but he doesn't know anything
Yeah.
about acting.
And he is big. He's almost as tall as Mark Rutherford's almost as tall as Josh Ostrodowski, I
Yeah, and
think.
I think he's doing a fine job, overall. So a big thing with Perrin is the wolves.
Yes, so I'm sure if you've been watching the show, and we actually had one of our listeners was messaging us talking about how she really likes Perrin. She wants to know more about the wolves. And she was saying that she feels like she just wants more of him in the show. So,
So we're going to oblige that
yeah,
and tell
absolutely.
you about the wolves. He is what is called a wolf brother, which means he can communicate to wolves telepathically, and he hears their thoughts and he can communicate with them in his thoughts. But wolves don't communicate in words, they communicate kind of in pictures.
Yeah, so he'll see like a picture, and he has to sort of put a word to it. So when they talk about, I think it's the Trollocs, they call them the Twisted Ones,
Yes, and
and
the Myrdral are never born,
Neverborn. Yeah,
and
even like time is different because he's at this one point he's trying to like communicate with the wolves and asking like how long will it be before something happens, and he's like, okay, so I think I have to picture the sun in the sky at one point. And then at another point to say like how many hours, where will the sun be in the sky
yeah.
when the Trollocs get here?
Now, one thing that they haven't really done this in the show, and I don't know how they really could, is showing us what that communication with the wolves is like. You
Yeah.
definitely get the idea that he does communicate with the
He
wolves,
knows something's
because
going
at one
on.
point, they're escaping the white cloak camp, and he says that wolf's not going to hurt us, and Egwene's like, "How do you know?" And he doesn't really explain. But in the books, the wolves have names, and he'll call them Dapple and
Hopper.
Hopper and all these different wolf names.
And they give him a wolf name. Maybe we
Yeah.
shouldn't say that.
Why not?
I don't know, because what if they bring it up in the show?
Oh, it's so much fun though. So but they have a name, and he actually becomes famous among the wolves. His wolf telepathy, by the way, has a range, an effective range of about 2 miles.
Yeah, he can't just like communicate with every wolf on the planet.
Yeah. But it's not like he has to like hear them or anything, but
Right, and he
it
like
does have a
reaches
range.
out to them
Yeah.
where he'll like,
Kind of quest out with his mind.
yeah, to see if he can find. So there are some things. Okay, so you've seen in the show where his eyes turn gold. In the book, once that happens, it happens.
Yeah, they never go back
They
to
never go
normal. And
back.
that's a big thing whenever
And so
somebody's meeting him, they
he'll
see
keep
his
his
gold
head
eyes
down.
and they're like, ah!
Yeah, like at first he's like trying to sort of hide his eyes from Rand
Yeah.
when they all come back together, you know, the like what happened in the show after Shadar Lagoth, they all get separated and Perrin and Egwene are off on one adventure where they have this interaction with wolves and everything. And then they do all come back together just like they did in the show. So when that happens, there's a chapter that's Rand's point of view, and he's talks about how Perrin keeps his eyes down a lot, and that sometimes the light's catching Perrin's eyes and all this stuff. So it goes with his character of being this gentle giant that he's, you know, trying to be unassuming, but he's also like, please don't look at my eyes. And every time like an Aes Sedai sees him, they're like, oh, what are these eyes? Like, what's going on? But it doesn't have anything to do with the One Power.
Yes, that's a big deal that when people hear that he can talk to wolves, which is something that very few people in the series know.
Yeah, he keeps it under wraps.
Because some people think that it's like from the Dark One or it's something to do with channeling, but it has nothing to do with the Dark One and has nothing to do with channeling. And it's actually something very, very old come back. That back long, long, long before the Age of Legends, even men and wolves used to run
They
together.
used to like hunt together and.
Yeah, and so Perrin and others, there's only a couple others in the books.
It's like four max. I know three for sure, and I was thinking there might be one more.
There's not very many. There's only a few can do it in the books. So it's not a common thing, but some can do it. In the books, he doesn't just discover it on his own either.
Yeah.
He has a guide, and
Yes.
it's actually someone that Lan knows because this guy's name is Elias Makira.
Again, if you're going to read the books, we're going to spoil some stuff.
Yeah. He's a very interesting character. When he first meets Perrin and Egwene, it's after Shadar Logoth and they've been separated and they're traveling together.
They've been traveling for days with like not seeing another person,
Yeah,
and
and they're starving and
they're trying to hunt rabbits, and they're
it's
really
not
not,
going very
it's not going
well.
well at all. But they just figure if they just keep on, eventually they'll come to something.
And Elias finds them and offers to give them food and be a guide for them because they clearly don't know what they're doing out in
Yeah,
the
it's pretty
wilderness.
funny because he's
And
like, you guys, first of all, you're not gonna run into any villages. There's nothing this way
yeah,
for.
you'll hit the spine of the world, he says,
Yeah.
before you.
And also, you're not hunting well, so let me help
Yeah, and then he mentions to them, here come my friends, don't move, don't make any sudden moves. And so then these wolves come up, and of course Perrin and Egwene are freaked out because, holy cow, we've got wolves that
Yep.
are all around us, around
But
the
they
fire
like
here.
lay down and. And they're not tame, like at all.
No,
They're
they're
very
not.
much wolves.
They're very
I
much wild
Elias
wolves.
is like, he probably hasn't spoken to a person in years.
And he looks the wild man. He's dressed in like animal skins and he's got long hair, long beard.
I think he might be my number one person that I'm sad is not in the show. I would
I
love to have
still hope that they'll
seen.
bring him in or
Yeah,
something.
maybe.
But I don't know.
I don't know either.
But Elias is also a wolf brother and he's got the golden eyes, just like a wolf. That's the idea of the golden
Yeah.
eyes, that he has wolf's eyes.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't spent a lot of time up close and personal with a wolf to know exactly what their eyes look like, but it enhances their senses.
Which there was a, when they were in the ways, at one point, Perrin was
Yes.
like, there's something up there. And everybody else is like complete darkness. And Perrin's like in the very back of the line, but he
Yeah.
sees that stone. That, so that was kind of a bit
Yeah.
of a little drop of, he's
Yeah,
got something going
so it does seem like they're doing the enhanced senses.
on.
His night vision especially is excellent.
Yeah, there's a part where he and Egwene are somewhere and he says he can see something and she's like, oh my goodness, how can you see that? And he realizes like he, to him it looks sort of like dusk, but he realizes, oh wait, it is full dark. And so he's kind of realizing that he has these enhanced senses
Yeah.
and his smell, he can smell what emotions people are feeling.
Yeah, that's a big deal in the books. He'll smell their anxiety or their fear or whatever. He is the sort of man that is always reluctant to fight, but boy, if he's fighting, you better get out of the way because he is a beast. And you actually kind of saw that a little bit in the first episode when he kills Layla. Before he kills Layla,
Like with the
he's
Trollocs.
going nuts on the Trolloc. I mean, he is, you can see his kind of like berserker rage going there, and he becomes afraid of that in the books as well. He's afraid of the man that he becomes in battle. But
Yeah.
because he's Taviren, the wheel won't let him avoid fighting. He just keeps finding himself in these situations where he has to fight. He has no choice.
Yeah.
So I would say of all the characters, he's the most reluctant
Yeah.
to take his place in the pattern that the wheel is putting him into. All he wants is like a quiet life,
Yep.
being a blacksmith.
He just wants to do his thing and not bother anybody and not, you know, he wants to be kind and
Yep.
he's so sweet. I love Perrin.
He's a sweetheart. He does find himself in a lot of situations that he does not enjoy, but you really see his character grow because of those
Yeah.
situations.
Yeah.
Well, anything else you want to say about our man Perrin?
I hope that the show continues to evolve his character. I do really like that. One thing I was going to say about the Layla situation with him killing her, it, and you said that about, you can see his berserker thing. I think that is kind of, they were doing that to speed up the process for him because we don't see that until a little bit later, I guess. So I was sad that he didn't get as much screen time, I guess, this season as I would have liked. So
I
I
wish I
hope.
would have seen him fight more because
Yeah.
that is something that he does.
Right,
I'd like to
right.
see him be a little bit
I was
more
hoping that he'd
aggressive.
do something there at the very end with Padawn Fane, but somebody in one of in a forum that I was reading pointed out that that whole Fane Perrin interaction may have been intended for Matt.
Yeah, and that would make sense.
Yeah, but the actor, if you don't know, the actor who plays Matt, once they shut down for COVID, they had not filmed the last two episodes, and the actor that plays Matt did not come back for filming. And there's nobody knows why, if there was, you know, some personal thing that went on, if he got sick or what. But
Yeah.
anyway, they recast Matt for the second season, so they had to change a few things.
I actually read a really interesting interview with the director for the last two episodes, and he was talking about that a bit, about how they had to do some significant rewrites to fit not only the loss of Matt, but also the COVID restrictions. They
Sure.
couldn't have as many extras, and they had to rethink the locations, he said.
Oh, wow.
So he mentioned particularly things would have been pretty different in the Blight and
Oh.
in Tarwyn's Gap, the battle,
Oh, that's good to know.
and at the Eye of the World.
Interesting.
that those things were all going to be very different, but they were limited because of the coronavirus restrictions. So I thought that was interesting. And he said, but I think it worked out and no one could really know the difference. And I thought to myself, I think
I
I
knew
could tell the difference. I wish you
the
could have gone with plan A
difference.
there, but
Yeah, they were definitely, I would have liked to have seen Tarwin's gap different, but that's okay. We got to see our books on the big screen. Anyway, back to Perrin. I am excited to see where they go with his character because I do really love him. I think he's wonderful. I love his storyline. Yeah. So I guess that's all I have to say about Perrin. You got anything else?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, let us know who you'd like to hear about next, and may you always find water and shade.